Sanatana matat babu Sanat kumaram chamunin Nishkriyan urdvarita saha The verb asvijat is in the previous verse. Sanakam cha sanandam cha Sanatanamatatmabuhu Sanatkumaram jamunin Nishkriyan urdvarita saha
Sanakam cha sanandam cha
Sanatanam atatma bhuhu
Sanat kumaram
cha muni Nishkriyan urdvareta saha Sanakam Sanaka cha Also Sanandam Sananda cha and Sanatanam Sanatanam Atta thereafter Atmabhuhu Brahma who is self-born Sanatkumaram Sanatkumara cha also Munin the great sages Nishkriyan free from all furtive action Urdvare Tasaha those whose semen flows upward translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada in the beginning Brahma created four great sages named Sanaka, Sananda, Sanatana, and Sanatkumara. All of them were unwilling to adopt materialistic activities because they were highly elevated due to their semens flowing upward. Purport. Although Brahma created the principles of nescience as a matter of necessity for those living entities who were destined to ignorance by the will of the Lord, he was not satisfied in performing such a thankless task. He therefore created four principles of knowledge, Samkhya, or empirical philosophy, for the analytic study of material conditions, Yoga, or mysticism, for liberation of the pure soul from material enjoyment in life to elevate oneself to the highest spiritual understanding. Sankhya, or empirical philosophy for the analytic study of material conditions. Yoga, or mysticism for liberation of the pure soul from material bondage. Vairagya, the acceptance of complete detachment from material enjoyment in life to elevate oneself to the highest spiritual understanding. And tapas, or the various kinds of voluntary austerities, performs for spiritual perfection. Brahma created the four great sages Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanatana, and Sanat to entrust them with these four principles of spiritual advancement.
Is Sanat
Kumar? Yeah. Sanat. No, Kumar is just what he is. His name is Sanat. And they inaugurated their own spiritual party or sampradaya, known as the Kumara Sampradaya, or later as the Nimbarka Sampradaya, for the advancement of bhakti. All of these great sages became great devotees, but without devotional service to the personality of Godhead, one cannot achieve success in any activity of spiritual value. So these are the first sons of Brahma. Before that, all he created some illusory energies. And they are great Vaishnavas. They have their own sampradaya. But each sampradaya has its own opulence. The opulence of our sampradaya is Jnana and Vairagya. The Sanat Kumara is very strong in mystic discipline. This is the strength of the Kumaras. They live on Tapoloka, planet of great austerities, where great austere yogis sit and meditate, and they have no other engagement. They don't even perform sacrifices. They don't even, won't even look at your face and talk to you. They're so busy meditating. So the kind style of devotional service that they practice and teach is very austere and disciplined. They have a sampradaya. Their sampradaya is continuing in Kali Yuga, but represented by Nimbarka Acharya. When he lived, not sure. Where he lived, there's different opinions. Some say he was born near Radhakund.
On the way to Varshana.
On the way to Varshana, Okay. Some say he was born in the south. And there's disagreement about what his original philosophy is. He wrote his commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, which is Vaishnav, but it doesn't say anything about Radha Krishna. Whereas the modern Nimbarka Sampradaya is all Radha Krishna worship. In fact, it looks almost exactly like our philosophy, except for they don't have any Lord Chaitanya. It's someone designed a copy Sampradaya without Lord Chaitanya. So there's question whether what presents itself today as the Nimbarka Sampradaya even represents Nimbarkacharya, what to speak of Sanat Kumara. Anyway, we don't have to push that issue. Sanat Kumara is also one of the teachers of Srimad Bhagavatam in that line. It's described in this third canto because Maitreya Muni is coming in that Sampradaya from Sanat Kumara. Sankarsana spoke to Sanat Kumara. Sanat Kumara spoke to Samkhyayana. Samkhyayana spoke to Parashara. And Parashara spoke to Maitreya. That's the parampara. Now Maitreya is speaking to Vidura. And it's recorded in the same Bhagavatam that also is coming down in the line of the Brahma Sampradaya. They share the same book. All the Vaishnava Sampradayas share this book. This practice of austerity of bhakti yoga in the style of the Kumaras, the severe discipline of devotion, is not so easily practiced in Kali Yuga. Therefore, devotional service, there are many methods of devotional service. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati commented that there are 108 different ways of performing devotional service, but in our age, only a few of them are known. We have our Pancharatrika mark. We have our Bhagavat mark, or our Harinam Sankirtan mark. The traditional system of Bhakti Yoga, in its various styles, was more difficult than anybody could practice in Kali Yuga. So in the Sri Sampradaya from Ramanuja, the idea was that Bhakti Yoga, their explanation, is too difficult to perform in Kali Yuga. So we instead simply practice the method of prapatti, or simply surrendering, submitting to the Lord's mercy, and just being dependent on Him. That's all we can do in Kali Yuga. That's a good idea. Although Prabhupada used the terminology bhakti yoga, we're practicing bhakti yoga, but our bhakti yoga is a streamlined Kali Yuga version of bhakti yoga. Just chant Hare Krishna and follow a few basic regulative principles. For a traditional Brahmana in past ages, these are just preliminary prerequisites of any kind of civilized life. It does not make one a great devotee that he doesn't eat meat. It just makes him a human being. But if we want to be any kind of devotees, if we want to be Vaishnavas, we have to follow these minimum principles. Of course, there are persons who can't follow the principles and are still trying to be devotees. And there are exceptions. I mean, Garuda is not a vegetarian. But he's an eternal associate of Narayan. So one can, with great difficulty, serve Krishna even while having difficulty following many of the principles. But it's not recommended to follow that process. This is our austerity. To live up to the basic standard that we have been given by our acharyas is the great austerity of this age. If we do it, especially if we take the trouble to try to engage in preaching, then we're accomplishing something very impressive. Krishna recognizes us then. Prabhupada's explanation was that for ISKCON Brahmachari to go out and try to sell some books in the street is equivalent to the severe austerities that yogis in past ages performed when they sat under the sun in the summer and lit fires on all sides of themselves, or stood in cold water in the winter meditating. This, the austerity of trying to simply preach, or even just trying to follow the process of sadhana bhakti, is an equivalent austerity for our age. By tapas, we concentrate our determination, we purify our intelligence, and we attract the attention of Krishna. Just as Hiranyakashipu, by his terrible austerities, attracted the attention of Brahma, the demigod said, go over there and give him what he wants and stop him, please. So like that, as Hiranyakashipu got Brahma's attention by his austerities, we can get Krishna's attention by our attempt to follow the standard process. That's our great austerity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, has seen what is the condition of this age, and he's redesigned the process of devotional service to be appropriate for the unfortunate, confused, and unhappy souls of this age. To make things as simple as possible, to extend his mercy to the utmost extreme, and try to make everything easily available. So we should make our best attempt to follow the process to get that mercy. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?
So yes, Nimbarkacharya's preaching was teachings were according to the sects, or according to the teachings of the Kumaras?
I guess so. I can't remember what he actually taught. I presume. Yes.
I mean, like you said...
But I have read the book, but
like
I don't remember.
Like you said, the Kumaras, just very austere and very rigid life of austerities, and even don't bother themselves with any kind of activities except meditation, even no sacrifices.
Right.
I mean, just
it's not that... But they had a sampradaya, and there were many householders who became members of that sampradaya. So it's not that he told all their followers to do nothing but meditate.
You mean Nimbarkacharya or
even the Kumar, even Siddha Kumar.
Oh.
You know, it's not that he, not that they discouraged karma, you know, performing sacrifices and various kinds of sadhana for their followers. Just they themselves, you know, just meditated and do nothing else. And they're core followers, but they have a whole sampradaya. They're devotees on different levels. So I'm sure the grihasthas are performing ordinary devotional service the way we understand it. But I'm not that familiar with what Nimbarka actually wrote. We have his Vedanta commentary, but I'm not familiar with it. But what's practiced today is a whole different style. But, you know, what goes under the name of the Nimbarka Sampradaya. They worship Radharani, and Nimbarka never mentioned her. Okay.
So, please.
About Kumar?
Kumaras are sort of quite eternal, you know. They're just born from Brahma's mind, like reborn in this material world, as far as I can understand, or not?
Yes, that's mentioned in one of the commentaries. I think we read it last week in one of our commentaries, that they live for the duration of for Dviparadas. But what was this? That special at the end, halfway through Brahma's life, there was a special annihilation, and although their planets didn't become annihilated, they became covered over, unseen. So the Kumaras were just, you know, hiding at that time. They didn't have to leave their bodies.
No, but before Brahma comes to this world and after he leaves.
Oh.
This one.
I don't know if their bodies are eternal. Or Shiva's body's eternal. I don't know about the Kumaras actually eternal. Do you know some statement to that?
No. I don't think so. They're jivas.
Lord Shiva's not a jiva. His body is eternal. Brahma is a jiva. Brahma's body is not eternal. Why should his son's bodies be eternal? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're eternal spirit soul, but I don't think they're in that body of those Kumaras. Before the creation of the universe or after the destruction of the universe.
Yeah, but Narada Muni is not Brahma, but his body is eternal.
Narada Muni in universe.
Yeah, but this one original Narada Muni who's traveling all over the continent.
I don't know, he's multitasking, he's in all the universes at once, I don't know. I don't think so, I think there's a different Narada in each universe. Either that or we have the only one. Okay, it gets confusing. I mean, he travels to Vaikuntha, but you know, Brahma went to see Krishna in Dwarka, and Krishna summoned all the other Brahmas. So maybe there are many other Naradas too. This gets confusing.
But most of the time, Narada spends traveling and preaching here.
In this universe.
So, I mean, yeah, and traveling and preaching, so he goes for a few minutes, spiritual world,
yes.
And then leaves, and then...
But he belongs here.
No, I mean, like, in the sense that other Naradas come at other time, I mean, just for a few minutes, so they don't have a chance to meet each other. Because most of the time they spend here.
Okay, but in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we meet Narada and Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
You know, Gopakumara saw Narada in this world, and then he sees Narada again in Vaikuntha. Is that the same person? If there's millions of different Naradas, then the one in Vaikuntha doesn't have to be the same one. But I can't answer that question. The way Sanatana Goswami presents it is as if Gopakumara is meeting the same Narada. Maybe he expands himself? He has, you know, he's actually the same person in different bodies, you know, a million different bodies, all these different universes.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't remember seeing any comment on that question in any commentary at the Bhagavatam. I can't see. Okay, any question I can't answer?
Okay.
No. Thank you, all glory, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.